Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we feel your love for us and we love you back. We are full of gratitude for Jesus Christ and the price that he paid to redeem us from our sins. Lord, we seek to repent and to be born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Money is mentioned in the Bible over 1,000 times. Oh, I think it's probably 2,000 times. Money is something that is a real issue in life. And we always want to be responsible in how we handle money. And yet we know all around us, people do not handle money well. Sometimes it's us who does not handle money well. And sometimes it is the politicians who do not handle our money well. It expands from politicians to international organizations, even there's the BRICS group of nations that are forming a new money system with what they call the unit. So that is something that is all going on as the unit and the dollar are conflicting with international dominance. So money is a huge issue for each one of us and internationally. Somehow we have to figure out how our values are reflected in our money. And that's why I think the Bible talks about money so much. It is because money reflects our own values. I do think about what happens with money, that it becomes inflated or even hyperinflated. Just look at the history of the last 100 years. There has been the examples of the German mark in the 1920s, the Austrian shilling in the 1930s, and there is the money that just loses value due to hyperinflation. The U.S. dollar has, the British pound has, the Argentina peso has, the Venezuelan bolivar, the Russian ruble has, and the Greek drachma has. Lately, there has been a move towards digital currency. The Indian ruble has, and the Chinese yuan has moved towards digital currency. So these are all things that are a part of our struggle in life and to how we understand and how we deal with money, which reflects our values. And as we live, we deal with money all the time. It's normal, just like a farmer would deal with his crops, or a policeman would deal with his gun, or anything else that is normal. People deal with what is normal and they make a difference in their life. So, yeah, it's normal and natural that we deal with money. We deal with it all the time. And it has been devalued ever since the days of Rome, throughout Europe, throughout Asia. Money loses value. The bankers know all about it. And today the central bankers deal with money in a similar way, where they inflate or devalue it in a way that is profitable to them. So we have a system that has stayed the same and changed as time has gone by. Speaking of a system that stays the same or changes, we understand things in a different way because that's what history does. That's what people do. They manipulate the truth to make it apply from one area to the other, just like money, just like inflation, Or just like children. Oh, let's see. Children sacrifice, let's say, because in the olden days, ancient days, there was a certain social movement to sacrifice your first child so that you could have a more prosperous life. Of course, it was a lie, but that is what was so said at the time. Just like today, we have lies. We have things that are presented to us. See, today we have Planned Parenthood, and we have people who say children are expensive, so get your finances in order and then have children. Well, in a way, that is sacrificing our first child so that we can get our money together and have a prosperous life. Now, I know it's not a perfect example, but it is a way that you can understand that the concepts change but stay very similar over the decades, over the thousands of years. And what we want to have is a consistency of our spiritual life through God of the Bible, and have our Bible be a guide for our life. And the choices that we learn as we read the Bible benefit our whole life. And this is what God tells us about in the Bible. And the things relate to one another. Sometimes it's human relations, and sometimes it is that money. I know money, I think my favorite verse about money is Proverbs 22:7, that the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, I've known that for a long, long time. And even when I was first an adult and ready to buy a house, I knew about that concept, but I just could not figure out a way to buy a house without having a loan on it. Well, if you search things out, you do find a few things that make it a little easier. You can find a person who will sell a home and then take a loan back. Now, that is one way. It's still a loan, but it is a little bit different to have a personal relation than a mortgage bank. So there are things that we can do that adjust it just a little bit. And I've known people who have pleaded with the Lord to take their finances over. And Lord, if you provide the finances, we will put all the money towards our mortgage. And that way we will reduce the stress of the borrower being servant to the lender. So they have had their prayers answered. I've known people like that. And it's just amazing how when you follow God's word, God will hear prayer and God will bless people. It is a big lesson, and we learn it from the testimony of other people. And somehow, we want to have the blessing, and then we also will learn that we want to be faithful to God and follow His word, follow what we learn in the Bible. So, we learn biblical wisdom instead of worldly wisdom. As we seek to live life as we do appreciate the blessing. We thank God for all His wonderful blessings. But we also deal with what is normal in the world. What is normal? Oh, we have things that are normal and we come to expect normal because we've had it for so many years, so many decades. And then we learn normal. Normally, there's something called normalcy bias, where people just cannot look beyond what is normal. They expect everything to continue. Just like having water and electricity. Water and electricity and gasoline that you can buy. is gotten to be so very normal that we cannot imagine having a life where we could not buy gasoline, buy groceries at the grocery store, or have electricity and water in our home. But all over the world, there have been times when people have not had the services that they expect. The electricity stops, the water stops, there is something. And the thing is we just hardly recognize that that could happen to us. But a part of the emergency preparedness is to know that it has happened to people all over the United States, that the electricity goes out, the water goes off. There is something where people are left very vulnerable because they do not have their basic needs met. Who can blame them? Because for years and decades even, we have had everything provided that we need in the most basic ways. Water, food, and warmth. And we have gasoline we can buy, we can have a bank we can go to, and we just can hardly believe that one day it could change. But if you look all over the world, it changes for other people. And you just kind of wonder, when will it change for people in the United States? Now, there's no answer to that. It depends on your sensitivity to it. And the people who know that it can change are often called preppers. They prepare for something that most people do not expect. They don't expect the water to go off or the electricity to stop or some kind of service, the gas or the grocery store or something else, the banking. Whoever would expect that to stop because it's been there all of our life. But that is what the prepper has a concern about, because they have seen people go without. Just like I have, I've seen people who have had to go without in this country and in other countries. It's not that unusual for something to happen. It's just not to the level that those prepper kind of people will present. They talk about something catastrophic very often. And we could have a catastrophic event, or we could have a very simple event of having the water go off for a day or two, or the electricity go off for a day or a week. This happens all the time in the USA. And it's normal. It's not that there was a war event, and there are war events that do happen in the world. And then people do not have electricity. They do not have gasoline. They don't have a car. They don't have something. And they have to look at what their very most basic needs are. That's something that can happen to anyone, even here in the United States. We think that we're going to be protected, but there are consequences to what we do as a country, as a people, and even in our own life, what we do. Therefore, we know that things can happen that we don't expect. Oh, boy. Thinking of my own life, going back a few years, I remember, well, I was a kid, probably five or six. And you know how we warn our children against dangers and not to do this or not to do that? And so I was camping with a family. My father was there, and he wanted to warn me about rattlesnakes. So he told me about rattlesnakes, and if I ever saw one, I had to tell him. So right away I told him, "Dad, there's one under the table." And he said, "Johnny, now this is very serious. You have to tell the truth about these things." And he said, "Is that true?" "Yes, Dad." And so there was a rattlesnake right under the table. It's a matter of we do not see the things that are dangers. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. And then we have just natural disasters that happen. My mother was kind of adventurous, and sometime we would go on a camping trip, and I think I was 7 when this happened. We were out on a camping trip and coming back, and it was a very heavy rain right then, and in those days, it was a very heavy rain, caused flooding everywhere. And it's one of my childhood memories that I remember being the last car to cross a bridge and having the river flooding and lapping up onto the bridge. But I do remember the last car. We were the last car to cross that bridge, and then they were going to close down that highway and the bridge. Oh, I just mean that things happen in real life, and we don't expect them, but they happen. Real life happens to all of us, and there are things that we do not expect, and there are things that we can be concerned about, learn about, and sometimes we are warned about things with what we read or in the Bible, or even the things that we are warned about by a corporation or our government. They have the Office of Emergency Services, and they tell us warnings all the time. Or sometimes it will be a city government or a police department will have warnings also. It's good to listen to those because we never know what could happen, and they do warn people like us. So what are we going to listen to? We always listen to one thing or another and say to ourselves, oh, I wish I'd have paid attention to that one. Oh, that's just life. But things happen. I know for me, I was in that 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake in the Bay Area. Right there. I was right there. I saw, oh boy, that was a big one. And I remember thinking that if this does not stop shaking, it's going to shake everything down. And it was a relatively short earthquake. Only a, was it 7.9? Yes, earthquake. And if we went up another point, it would have been 10 times stronger. And so I think about there was another earthquake. I didn't feel this one, but we all knew about the one that affected Fukushima, Japan, and the tsunami that came into Japan. So we do know these things. It's right on our news. You know, one of those things that was interesting about that Fukushima earthquake affecting their nuclear, electrical generation. So I found out about that and knew that it could be causing radiation to go other places in the world. So I heard about that, and about 2 hours later, I went to the store to buy some iodine, and I found out there was no iodine available. You want iodine to fill up your thyroid gland so that it does not absorb any radioactive iodine and kill your thyroid gland. So I went to the store to buy any iodine that I could find, and I found out just in 2 hours, it was all gone from the stores that I visited. I could not get any iodine or any iodine supplement, sea algae that had iodine in it. But anyway, it's an example of we want to get what we need before we need it, whether it's water or food or medicine or a warm jacket because the heating is not working, or we need water. Yes, that's a big one, water. And another one for the radioactive event would be potassium iodide pills. And then a person would take those for, let's just say, 2 weeks. Now, the instructions are on the bottle. You can get a bottle of them. They're not expensive. And they will tell you how much to take for your body weight, or if you have children, how much they should take for their body weight. But anyway, the idea is to get these things before you need them. So, just like having enough water and food on hand, if you are concerned about a nuclear event, accident or intentional, it's a good idea to have potassium iodide pills in your preparedness kit. Okay, so what else? Let's see. Well, we all have a concern for everything going on, yes, with our children, and yes, with ourselves. So we want to be responsible people, adults, parents, and have a little thing of what our children will need to survive a few days if the electricity or the water goes off. It goes off in many parts of the world. It's just that we don't see it happen in the USA. Not very much, but it still does. So many times a year, the electricity goes off or the water goes out. What, for a few days? Yeah, sometime for a few weeks. So we get to not be concerned because we have it whenever we want it. But the prepper knows the times that it has happened in the area or in the United States. So we all have a different sensitivity. But when things happen to you or your family or somebody you know, it makes you aware of what can happen. We learned about how a nuclear blast can disrupt, knock out all the electricity from, let's see, 1963. Yeah, 1963, there was Operation Starfish Prime, where the U.S. government exploded a nuclear bomb in the atmosphere. That was about 800 miles from Hawaii, and the electricity was knocked out for basically all of Hawaii, 800 miles away. So it just goes to show that it is a real possibility that your electricity could be knocked out, either on person, on purpose, or by accident. And we know that there are many things can happen, and it's for each one of us to decide what is reasonable and what we can do to avoid what just might happen. And that is very personal. Everybody has their own idea and their own level of concern. I just say it's a good idea to have some concern and to prepare for, well, anything. An earthquake, and these days there are more, well, besides that, more earthquakes. Also, the Bible tells us that before the end of the age, there will be earthquakes and famine and wars. So, what does it make sense for you to prepare for? Will it be the return of Jesus that you are expecting to save you? And of course, it will, but we don't know the timing, and we don't know what leads up to the return of Jesus. And this is something that we all have a concern about. And I know I was just talking to people, well, yes, a week ago, about the return of Jesus and how Jesus would return. The generation that saw the birth or rebirth of Israel will see the return of Jesus. And so they keep thinking, or this was the destruction, how long can it be? Because a generation is 70 or 80 years, or a little more, or only in one case, 120 years. And that's what I think is worth looking at, just to recognize that in Genesis 6:3, the Bible tells us that a man's life will be 120 years. Is that a generation? Well, I want to tell you that 120 years from the birth of rebirth of Israel, 1948, would be about 2060. So, now the thing that gets my attention is that that English scientist and mathematician Isaac Newton, in his notes, suggested that Jesus would return about 2060. So it just is another reason to say maybe there is some truth to it. And we think of Isaac Newton as a scientist, and he was a very much a scientist, but it's also a truth that he wrote more books on theology than he did on science. So it's something that we can just ponder and think about what is before us, whether it is this kind of observation or certainly about money. Now, I started out about money, and I say money is important, and it is a part of how we show what our concerns and our love is about. What do we love, and what do we buy with our money? What do we support? Do we support our church and the spreading of the gospel? Or do we all spend our money on the things that we want? Oh, I think we will be accountable one day for what we buy. And when I say one day, I really mean when we are judged. And that is when we die, we go and meet Jesus. It's not the great judgment, the great white throne judgment that I'm talking about, but we all will have a judgment, and it'll determine how our eternity goes. Well, it's a reminder that we all want to be faithful to Jesus Christ as we live, and it certainly helps if we read the book of instructions that God left us. It is the Bible. And as we learn more about the Bible, we learn more and more about how to live in a godly way. I think of how the patterns go, and I just want to remember that we want to follow godly patterns and not the ways of the world. I think of Thomas Jefferson and how at that time there was a good understanding about money and what the big banks did with money, or what governments did with money. They spent it, of course. But we got a warning from Thomas Jefferson. He is quoted as saying, "If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their money, then first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations will grow up all around the people and deprive the people of their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their forefathers settled." I think that is such an interesting quote, because he warns us about private banks, and all the central banks of the world are private banks. In the United States, we have the Federal Reserve, but it is also a private bank. And it does have that hand in printing, in issuing our money. The Federal Reserve issues the money, but the Treasury prints our money. So, you can have people argue one way or another to say there is or there isn't, but I certainly see that we are in a dangerous position in America today. So, will our children grow up homeless in the land that our forefathers settled? It's certainly looking like it, isn't it? Homelessness is growing. Look at the homeless veterans. Look at the homeless elderly people. Why, this has been a pretty big thing in the recent years, how retired people have sold their homes and bought a large recreational vehicle to live in. They are the newest segment of the so-called homeless people. You don't have to be a drug user to be a homeless person. You don't have to be an out of luck person to be a homeless person. You can move into it by choice. But it is very interesting to see that there is a large percentage of the population that is somehow getting homeless. And so I think about the Thomas Jefferson quote. And I do think about the money of all of us, and I think about how we are guaranteed a little bit of money called a stipend in retirement, and that is the Social Security. Now, for some people, it seems like it's a lot of money. And, oh, I remember when I was 25 thinking, oh, Social Security, I can live on that. But we have had inflation, so very much inflation, that the money has changed what it will buy. And now the Google says that the average Social Security payment is $1,340 a month. And I talk to people who I know. And, well, there's only been one person out of probably 20 people I've talked to who have said that their retirement doesn't even come close to $1,340 a month. So, it's something where we have to realize that this is an area that could affect us. We could be homeless, not just those people who didn't make good decisions, but we could be. We could become elderly and homeless. So it's a matter of what we are doing with our money. And sometime we have to be generous and give, and sometime we have to hold on to the money for the things that are worthwhile. And do not forget your contributions to godly causes, things that you know that God would support. The Christian people around you. And now maybe that's a church. That's one way to do it. Maybe that is a mission. I think missions are great to contribute to. And it might be a mission in a foreign country, or it might be a mission in your very own city, or in America. Lots of people need to know Jesus Christ. And so there are people who are missionaries to a nearby city or a nearby state. And that is something that we can also support with our money. People have to support their money through have to support their government through taxes. But it is also up to us to give to the causes that we know are important. And I hope that you have a little bit of money that you contribute to causes that are important. Sometimes it's your church. Sometimes your church will have a secondary collection to benefit something, or you can always designate money through your church to be for maybe a missionary or something. So consider this, because there's so many people who are in need as they speak and preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear about Jesus. But money changes over time. And that's something which we have to be aware of, about what we support, and recognize that we can have hyperinflation again. In fact, look at the way the government is spending. And it is very typical for governments to hyperinflate their national currency to, well, just to survive. That's really what it is. And that is a long-standing pattern. That has happened since Rome, since many countries in Europe. It happens today, where money loses value, or you could say it inflates, but the effect is approximately the same. And about money changing, if you brought a $100 bill from the 1880s into the bank today, yes, we still have U.S. dollars, but nobody at the bank would let you put 100 or 150-year-old $100 bill into your account. Yes, it's still dollars, but it's not recognized as money. And that is a part of what we would deal with if there was a money crisis today in America. How do we have our assets retain value? What retains value? Paid for land does. Things that people need retain value. There's some consumables that retain value, but everything also changes. I mean, there was a time when you would say a washing machine would retain its value. So if you had a washing machine from 100 years ago, it would still be good, but the technology changes so much that it would not be desired. And it's something that we all have to be a little concerned about. How are we going to save for our future? Now, earlier I said about hyperinflation and what happened to the German mark in the 1920s, or the Austrian shilling in the 1930s. Oh, and then there was the British pound that was known to have value everywhere in the world in the 1950s, but soon it diminished, and the U.S. dollar became strong. And now the U.S. dollar is falling in its value internationally. Just thinking back to when I was 10 or 12 or something, so it was a long time ago, but I remember that a $20 bill would buy 6 or 8 bags of groceries when I went shopping with my parents. So it's a matter of money changes, and how do we retain value for when we retire? Money for our old age. How do we do that when you know that money inflates or loses its value? It's something which the money people want to tell you they know how to do it, and in a way they do, but only in their limited knowledge. And somehow, if we look at historical examples of what has happened with money, with the Federal Reserve, which began in 1913, and our money has diminished ever since. Why? Because the system has devalued money. Partly it is taking the silver out of coins. Now that began in the 1960s, where the coins lost a percentage of their silver. And that's something that has been a known way of devaluing money ever since Rome. Rome did that too. Many countries did that. And so we... I'll tell you a little story about when I first found out about silver and coins. This was about 20, 30 years ago. I got a coin which didn't sound right. So, I was handed my change back, and there was one coin that just didn't sound right. And I looked at it and found out that it was not counterfeit. It was actually a 1960 quarter that was basically all silver. And so it sounded different, and I thought it was a counterfeit. Well, and that's about where I started looking into money and value and silver or precious metals. And so it's been a long look at the world for me as things have changed. And the money has devalued all across the world. Why, we are having every country in the world and basically every corporation and every person. Now, it's not completely every, but it is a great big rule that debt has increased. And who owns the debt? That is a big question. Who owns our national debt? It's something that we somehow will have to pay back in bankruptcy, and bankruptcy is similar for a person and for a country. The bank takes the assets, and that is really what is going on right now with our huge national debt. Eventually, the bankers will take the assets of the countries that are, they will go bankrupt. It's all settled into the process. So what we can do is we can have our own little area secure in our home, in our personal life, and not get into debt. And I know how hard that is. We all know how hard that is. But that has to be our goal, to have economic stability in our life in the midst of changes. Now, the systems wants to change our money. Just like in China and in India, a billion people here and a billion people there have been issued digital currency instead of paper currency. It's pretty sure that that's going to come to the United States, and one day we will have a new money system. I expect it will be with digital currency, central bank digital currency. And then the banks can do whatever they want with the money. They can take it off of our money card or add it on, and who would even know? It's something that a secret system would have secrets. And so we have to be aware of it and seek to have our little area be secure in what we hold for our life, assets, and whatever it is that we are designating for God to support the gospel of Jesus Christ to spread throughout the world. And that's a part of what we do. We preach the gospel with our words, and we support the preaching of the gospel with our dollars. Let us all have that be a value of ours, and then let us figure out how we can donate our money to a cause or a person like a missionary who is spreading the good news of the gospel. And that's something we all can do. We all can do. Maybe we don't know right offhand how to do it, but there's somebody who knows. The pastors often know how they can direct one of our donations, one of our gifts, to a group of missionaries. That is pretty normal. So keep that in mind as to what you can do with your valuable and precious money to allow it to be used for God's purpose and not just our own little wants and needs. One day we will be judged on all of it, how we spend our money, how we put our time toward what, or the missions that are around us, the fellowship of our fellow Christians, all of it. It all makes a difference, and we want to show the love of Christ to the people around us and the Christians around us. I think of what we do, and a part of what we do is, as we preach the good news of the gospel, well, but I see it, I want to be a warning to the people also about what is coming. Now, I think of Ezekiel chapter 33 and how the watchman must warn the people that a sword is coming. And if the watchman does not warn, the blood of the people who lose their life will be on the watchman's head. So these are things that I think about as I have read the book of Ezekiel. And it makes me want to shout out a warning about what is coming. Now, will it be a sword is coming? Will it be a financial sword? Will it be a sword of war? Or a sword of what our society is doing to people? All of it. It's all there that is coming for us. And what we want to do is to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ and also to protect the people we love. And we do that in different ways. But I think the dollars that we have is another way of doing it. Do we hold them as dollars? Yes, I think a part of it we do hold as dollars, and a part of it we hold outside of the dollar system. As I think of the great big giant money funds, that they tell us that we should have some assets outside of U.S. dollars. BlackRock and Vanguard have been saying that for over a year. And so what would you put as your money into assets that are outside of the U.S. dollar? Well, those great big funds say you can have your money in foreign corporations. That's good. But I also think it's good to look at what every central bank of the world is doing. They are buying gold. They are buying silver. And that is what they are doing. And if you look at what gold has done and silver has done in the last year or 10 years, you will find out that that is a good place to put your money. But you have to look at it very closely and make sure that that is something you are understanding and agreeing with. But the central banks of the world are doing it. They are buying tons of gold and silver. So it's something that we can see smart money people are doing it. So maybe we should buy a little piece of gold or silver also. Yes, it's expensive, and it's not something we are used to doing. But if I told you you should put your money into land and farms, well, that's, again, something we're not used to doing. But to have land that produces food is very good. Or to have the things that we need to build anything, just to build a house. Would it be good to have hammer and saw and nails and screws? Yes. Would it be good to have paper and pencils and history books so that we can educate children? Yes. Where does it stop? We all have a different view of what is a good idea to invest in. And I just say, look at it. Are you going to invest in paper and pens or tools and nails? Are you going to invest in farmland? are you going to invest in food and water filters? That I don't know. We all have a different idea about what is valuable for us and for our children and grandchildren. And I don't know the answer to that. That's a very individual question. But I do hope that you look and just see what you would do if suddenly money changed, or you couldn't get water or food or gasoline. You have to look at the things that are going on all over the world. People have troubles. How do they get past the troubles to live a good and godly life? How do they do it? You have to think about these things. And certainly if you want to listen to money kind of people, why, they are around. There are many people who talk similarly to what I am saying. I'm just thinking of Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan Chase. I'm thinking of Ray Dalio. Those are two people who have talked about the United States dollar not doing well. I can't say to have it crash, but there are people who also talk about a dollar crash. And certainly with the events going on us in the world, all around us, with the BRICS countries working against the United States dollar, all these things are possible. And if we do not make a decision in time, our positions in the dollar will get diminished. So it's something that if you want to have something that protects you, you have to search it out. Oh, you can listen to the well-known money people, again, like Jamie Dimon and Ray Dalio, and oh, there's plenty of other ones. They all have ideas, but you have to search it out to find out what suits you. What are you going to do with your money? Are you going to put it into a great big huge fund? Oh, a lot of people do that. And so far it's been a good idea, but will it continue? Or will you put your assets, you know, your money, your time and your effort into something that is physically needed? Like, what about grain? What about dehydrated food? Oh, sure, mashed potatoes. I don't know. It's all different. Instant coffee is a good one. Somehow, we have to figure out if we are going to buy grain and a grain grinder and solar panels, just a few for the just in case. What would you do? Now, people think if their phone wouldn't work, they would recharge it. But if their phone wouldn't work and the electricity was out, would the cell phone towers also work? Yes, in a way, we just know that there's a small chance that these things would happen. So I say, if the chance is small, then just have a little bit of your time and your assets, your money, to go towards the just in case. What would happen? Yes, if there was that nuclear event, what if there was a war or terrorism inside the United States? We have had a lot of years of not protecting our United States borders, and we have had many influences come into our country which want to destroy the United States of America. It is their a part of their essential doctrine that the United States is bad and needs to be destroyed. It's something that they really, really believe. And so the people who really believe that might take steps to destroy the United States of America. And how would they destroy your life? By taking away the things that are in your life that help you to live prosperously, like water, food, and electricity, and your communications. How are you going to preserve the things that you want to preserve? Your family, your assets. How do you do that? Everybody has their own idea. And that's something we have to look into, because we can listen to what people say. You listen to the people who say, gold is going to 10,000, from 5,000 to 10,000. Buy gold. Well, maybe. Maybe you buy silver that's going from 100 to 300. Who are you going to listen to? I say, listen to the themes that are in the Bible, and then apply them according to what is in your life. And show your faith to others. Have there be a real physical way of your showing your faith. Yes, in your words, and yes, in your actions. It's a part of what we do in times of danger. And there are dangers that could come up. We don't think of them all the time, but there's earthquakes. There's the water tables changing. There are volcanoes. All those things are happening. We have Cascadia. We have the New Madrid earthquake zone. We have these things that could suddenly affect us and the people around us. So take some steps to prepare for the just in case, and to show our Christian love to our neighbors and the people around us. Thank you for today, and God bless you.